Well, on this, the 500th year of the anniversary of the Reformation, I, hearing these readings, come up with a line that was really important to them. Luther and the Reformers came up with this line. It was called grace alone, faith alone. They had a couple more things alone, but we'll leave it there. Grace alone, faith alone. And they wanted to be particular about how they understood those things. That it's through God's grace that you get all the good things of forgiveness, of being accepted as a child of God, that the Holy Spirit would be with you and in you, working in your life, and that this would go on forever, eternal life. Great gifts, and they were just out of the generosity of God. And that's the grace alone part. And the faith alone part is that we receive them. I kind of think of a radio transformer somewhere, a transmitter station, and it bounces the waves out all over the world. Everybody gets bounced on by these radio waves. And that's kind of like this gospel, this word that God wants to get out about grace alone and what God has done for people and wants to give people. But it's left inside of us to tune in, if you will, to receive that, to accept that, to know it's true and trust it for ourselves. So we have these little tuners, I think, in our souls. To kind of get in that, go, yeah, there is forgiveness. I really blew it. There is the Holy Spirit helping me. There is all this stuff for me. And that's the transforming power of this grace alone, this theology, this word they had, faith alone. And if you'd look in Scripture and say, well, where do they get that in Scripture? No better place than those readings from Galatians today, the letter that Paul wrote. And it's a bunch of churches in what's modern-day Turkey, these churches of Galatia. And the reason he started articulating saying this to them was that they were in conflict. Now, you have to remember in that time, as Daniel said last week, that the church came out of a Jewish place. Jesus was a Jew. His disciples were Jews. The first converts, they were all Jewish. So Christianity was really a movement among Jewish people. And that what the issue was that all these Jewish people that were out there in Galatia were seeing changes coming because now they're starting to get locals, Gentiles, the Jewish called them. We could call them foreigners or pagans, to come into the church. And they came in with their own ideas, and they were ignorant. They didn't know anything about Abraham or Moses, the laws that Moses gave. They didn't know about the kings and the prophets and all their history that was so critical to them. And they didn't know how to follow the laws that God gave. So they were probably thought of as kind of bad behaving people. And this was a real problem for them. You could feel the change coming from these outsiders. But I think underneath it was another issue, an important issue. That they began to resent these new people. Because it wasn't fair what God was doing. Let me explain that this way. Imagine you're a Jewish person growing up in that time. From your earliest days, you had to learn those stories. Stories of the Exodus, or the stories of creation, and stories of King David, whatever. You learned all these stories, and then you needed to follow the law. So you needed to study and follow the law, and that was not easy. The law was complicated. Demanded a lot of you. You had to even sacrifice to follow it. And then you were just Jewish in the world, and that made you kind of odd. They had to dress different and all this other stuff. So you faced some rejection in the world. And now these outsiders come in, and all they have to do is believe? They haven't sacrificed. They haven't worked hard. They haven't played by the rules like we have all these years. And they come in and they're full children of God, part of this whole thing. It's unfair. Well, they had a plan. Oh, yeah, they did. They could even this playing field. Mm-hmm. First law was given to Abraham to circumcise all male people, part of God's people. That'll nip it in the bud, won't it? Right there. We'll see them sacrifice a little bit here, won't we? Yeah, bring the law back. Straighten these folks out. Interesting. You know, we have in our souls, our human souls, such a sensitivity to fairness in the world. We're really tuned into it. I mean, it's almost a compulsive and deeply rooted thing to just have this radar screen out there measuring how all the world is fair to us or not fair to us and where we stand in all this, and we're just built that way. We see it from little children. I mean, little children Well, she got a bigger piece of cake than I did. Well, he got to go on this trip than I did. You see it? And they'll just cry out, not fair, right from the get-go. They figure that one out. And you think it would change for us adults? No, we just kind of learn to smooth it over a little bit. We learn to not react and say it maybe so blatantly. But it brings a ton of emotional energy. And you always know, because we say things like, well, I got robbed, I got cheated, you know, those kind of language, and then it degrades from there, the kind of things we say on the side. When something hits us that hasn't been fair, because I think our radar is trying to protect us from some hurt. It's trying to save us from that hurt. I think it's a very imperfect system, but it's trying to do that for us. And I would argue that our current depth of emotion in the political polarization, again, the emotion behind a lot of that we see in our culture today, comes from this sense of unfairness and the people's perception of that. I think of it on the healthcare issue. Now, this is oversimplification, and I'm trying to get you to say, see how the point of unfairness drives emotional intensity. Okay, that's the point. So the people on one side say, well, it's not fair that poor people or people with pre-existing conditions can't get broad and good coverage for their lives. So, you know, how can that be? And the other side says, well, yeah, that's good and fine, but it's expensive. Now, who's going to pay for it? I've worked hard all my life. You're going to charge me for that? You can charge my business for that? You know, the future generations? You know, it's not fair. And there's a lot of energy because it's not fair. You can just feel the energy rising out of a culture. And I think to a great degree, you can push back on other issues and see people's perceptions behind it about this sense of fairness. It's fairness, oh God. We still hope that the world's going to be fair. We need it to be fair, really, and I say that honestly. We'd go crazy if it wasn't fair. Imagine our graduates today, some of those here. If we told them they're going to go on to college, but it's going to be different in college. Okay, Timothy, it's going to be different in college for you especially, because the teachers are now going to start randomly assigning grades. That's not fair, is it? Now, who's going to turn in homework? Who's going to study for that test if you're just going to get a random grade assigned? And that same kind of thing would go for our workplaces. If our hard work, if our energy going into something, if we don't get rewards for that, I mean, we're going to go crazy and quit and do something else. Even relationships. I think of three big things we look for in fairness. One, playing by the rules. Two, working hard. And three, played by the rules. Oh, making good decisions. That if those things are working for us, we should have some rewards, some success. Things should help us in this world. And we need that or we're going to go nuts. But we also know in that kind of fair playing field of the world that there's some big chasms and that there's some big places where things just aren't fair. If some kind of crazy illness strikes you, that's not fair. Why you? How come that had to happen? Or someone who is not playing by the rules, but doing awful things to people, and yet they prosper from it. They get wealthy, and everything seems to be going well for them. I mean, that'll drive you nuts. Or how is it fair that we have been born in a place with opportunity and some prosperity? That's very, I think, of the person born in a shack in Haiti. They don't get a fair shake at all, do they? For me, it's into this world that God sent his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus comes and walks among us, and he has this drive from God to tell them about how God is love and give them stories that describe this crazy love, this gracious love from God. And he went to live it out in his actions. To those particularly who didn't get a fair shake, to say some who had suffering from diseases, they had nothing to do to get them, they just were suffering, and he heals them. Or how about the outcasts in his time because of one reason or another, you know, those sinners, tax collectors and such, those ostracized people, he reaches out and loves them, showing again that this love from God is particularly gracious to them. And it goes through this, all this, and what happens to him? It wasn't fair, was it? He got rejected. Absolutely. He got rejected. And then he was betrayed by one of his disciples, and they mocked and whipped him and crucified him. God got the full brunt of this world's unfairness. And what did God do about that? Here's the crazy thing. What did God do? Did God all of a sudden make then the playing field and change this earth so it's all fair for everybody? No, it hasn't happened yet. What God did was insert or change it so that there was a wonderful unfairness from an awful unfairness. God responded by turning from an awful unfairness that this world so delivers that he had to suffer himself to giving us this wonderful unfairness, raising Jesus Christ up so that all might look to them, might find God's grace for their lives. Anybody. And that's unfair, folks. Some people, all people, don't deserve this. But to give this wonderful unfairness to all, where they'll have forgiveness for their even worse stuff, just by trusting it. Simple. That they would find that they are God's children, accepted for who they are without changes. That they would know that God's Spirit's working in among them. That they would have all this for eternity. That God would defeat death for them. It's just crazy how wonderfully unfair God has decided to be to humanity. And that this is going out to all people. The radio waves of this bouncing for all. And some tune it in. If you will, receive it. Take it to themselves. Trust. Faith. You know, my hope for us as a people today is, you know, and coming to worship, is we find words and silences, that we find music that helps us tune again to realize this crazy God we have, who in this awfully unfair world at times we're just hoping the playing field stays level and honest, that we would be the people who could find and rejoice and celebrate in the wonderful unfairness of God for us. So we come to the table, we splash in the water at the font. Wonderful unfairness of grace alone, faith alone. It's all given by God's gracious gift to us, and all we're left to do is receive it in faith. Amen.